I want to share with you a story from the New Testament, from the book of Acts. Jesus now has ascended into heaven, and there is a man who has the authority to round up all the Christians and imprison or kill them. And his name is Saul, and he's from Tarsus. He is on his way to Damascus, where he is going to yet again seek out the Christians, round them up, and bring them back to prison. And on the way to Damascus, an incredible thing happens to him. Jesus appears to him. A bright light shines, and he hears this Jesus, whom he was saying was not the Christ, say, "Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, and he's blind now because of the light, he says, "Who are you?" And he says, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." So Paul makes his way to Damascus. And Jesus speaks to him and tells him what he's supposed to do when he gets there. Now, meanwhile, in Damascus, there is a man named Ananias. And Ananias is a good guy. He's a Christian. And God speaks to Ananias, and he says, and the scripture says, "Get up and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment, he is praying, and he has seen you in a vision." Whoa. Just imagine for a minute that you are Ananias. You know about this guy. You know that you don't just show up and say, "Hi, Paul, I'm a Christian." He's scared. He's nervous. But he does what God asks him to. He meets Saul. And he trusts God. And he places his hands on Saul. And the scripture says, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored, and he got up and was baptized. That's certainly not how he started planning his trip. Acts 9 is the only time that we hear about Ananias. It's the only time in Scripture his name is mentioned, but you know, I'm sure he was a decent Christian, a good guy. But he really hadn't done anything noteworthy until God called him to make a move, and he did it. And the rest is history. And we know then that because of Paul's conversion and what happened, that most of the New Testament that we have, and the reason we're sitting here today, is largely due to Saul or Paul. So Ananias played a pretty important role. Now, Ananias' job was simple. All he had to do was lay his hands on Paul in order to heal him from blindness. All he had to do was tell Paul that he was being selected by God to take the gospel to people who weren't Jewish, to go out into the world beyond those who were Jews. And then he was to challenge Paul to be baptized in Christ and to become a new creation. It's a simple job. You could have done it. I could have done it. But Ananias almost didn't do it. He got kind of hung up on a pretty good excuse Now, this is a dangerous guy. He almost didn't go down Straight Street to meet this man and do all these things. Ananias decided to obey God because God had asked him to make his move. Now, it wasn't enough for Ananias to simply be a good Christian and believe in Jesus. You know, maybe he worshiped and he read his scripture. I'm sure he was a good guy, but that wasn't enough. God works through believers. God works through you and me. But we need to be willing to make our move. There's an old saying that the road to hell is filled with good intentions. When I was being raised in the Berlin United Methodist Church, my pastor approached me at the age of 16 to be on staff parish relations committee. It seemed like kind of an overwhelming request. But he reminded me that when I took my membership vows, I was called to get into the game. I was called to be a doer. Pastor Cleet said, if you don't follow your faith with actions, you might die on the vine. Now, I wondered what that meant. What does it mean to die on the vine? Well, in John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a person remains in me and I am them, they bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can't do anything. Jesus was saying being my disciple means doing something. There's an old gospel song that goes, I wonder what kind of church would my church be if every member were just like me? How many souls would be saved today if it all depended on what I say? How many prayers would my Lord have to answer if all that he heard came from me? What kind of church would my church be if every member were just like me? How many times have I said, I'm a Christian, and turned a deaf ear to a need? How many times have I said, I love Jesus, but never one soul did I lead? How many luxuries have I passed by to have more to give to the Lord? Jesus, I promise as long as I live, from now on, I'm going to do more. Faith is about doing. Faith is about action. Now, granted, Ananias had an excuse, and it was a pretty good one. Saul of Tarsus was a scary man, a dangerous man. Everybody in town knew why he had come to Damascus, to arrest every Christian he could find and lead them back to Jerusalem in chains. They might never see their families again. It might be a death sentence. So, in my opinion, Ananias had a pretty good excuse. And you know, most of my excuses are pretty good too. And so are many of yours. But, if you'll notice, God wasn't impressed with Ananias' excuse. And where would the church be today if people hadn't put God before their excuses? Here we are 2,000 years later. Where would the church be if every believer simply worshiped God and then went home to their own interests? Now, people come up with all kinds of different excuses why they shouldn't be doing something for Jesus. For example, some say, I really don't have the time. Now, a friend of mine observed once that time is something that we kind of create. We're all busy, she said. I make time for things I want to do. If I want to watch TV, I will make time to watch TV. If I want to eat, I will make time to eat. If I want to take a nap, I will make time to take a nap. So to say I don't have the time, she said, is to say I'm just not going to make that a priority. Now, a new Christian might say, well, I'm too new in the faith to do much. I want to tell you a little story. A young man who heard the gospel was baptized into Christ. A little while after this, a Christian teacher asked him, what have you done for Christ since you believed? And the young man replied, well, right now I'm just a learner. Well, the teacher said, when you light a candle, do you light it to make the candle more comfortable or to give light? He replied, to have it give light. Do you expect that the candle will give light after it is half burned or when you first light it? Well, he replied, well, both. Very well, said the teacher. Go and do likewise. There are others that may say, I've already done my time. I want to sit back and retire. Let someone else do it. I have a colleague who challenged one of those people by saying, I didn't know that being Christ's disciple was like a prison sentence, doing time. There are Christians who do what they do in church because they view it as an obligation, a burden, something to be endured until they've put enough time in to justify sitting in the pew for the rest of their lives. But if exhaustion is the case, maybe it's time to take a different move. Perhaps God is directing your ministry in a different direction. Perhaps you'll be fed by trying a different ministry. I guarantee that God isn't saying, don't worry about it, I really can't use you anyway. Other great leaders in the Bible had excellent excuses not to make a move. Moses stuttered. Abraham was really, really old. David was too young. The Apostle John tended to be self-righteous. Jeremiah had depression. Gideon and Thomas both doubted God at one point. Timothy had ulcers. Naomi was a widow. Peter was afraid of death. And Lazarus was dead. Despite his hesitancy and his excellent excuses, Ananias made his move. And he gave it all that he had, and God honored him. God named him in his book. The name of Ananias is immortal because when God called on him, he acted. He did what he was supposed to do. There's a young woman in our community named Isabel Denai. And Isabel has, she's going to be a graduate. She's a Wanakee Warrior, class of 2018. And she has had quite a fight. She has multiple health problems. She's had numerous surgeries. And now, around Christmas, she was sent home on hospice. So she's spending time with her family. and her friends, Isabel would have pretty much every excuse we could all think of to just be self-absorbed and to not think about doing anything for anyone else right now. I think no one would judge her for being good to herself right now and just taking care of her. But this is not who she is. Isabel spends her time and her energy encouraging others. She does things for others. She has a blog, it's called isabelsfight.com. And Isabel, in this blog, shares her struggles. And she talks about her faith. And what she does every single day that she breathes, she gives hope to others. And she lives her faith. She gives and she does in everything. I want to share with you just an excerpt from her blog. This is from Easter. And it's just a small excerpt. It says, "I am so thankful for this day. Our Jesus Christ rose from the dead to grant us the biggest gift, eternal life. And when times are hard, I find true peace knowing that once life on this earth is done, I begin my eternal life. He gave us the gift of watching our loved ones forever. Amen. To those that can't eat much, I hope you enjoy some crafts or playing games. Here's to the gift of forever." You see what she did there? She even said, hey, even if you're like me and you can't eat much, here's some suggestions. This is how we are called to live, dear brothers and sisters. And we have the opportunity to be game changers in this world. God calls each of us, every single one of us, by giving us gifts and graces, and then says, go. And as a church, as a body of Christ, we have the opportunity to pool all of our gifts and graces together to shine so brightly into the world in God's name. I would invite you, before offertory time, to take a really good look at your connection card. Make sure you fill that out and place it in the offertory plate. And say a little prayer and ask how God is calling you to live out your discipleship. It's your move. What you gonna do? Amen.